Good morning. It's the 5th of May. Our New Testament reading today is Acts 14 and 15. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, and this is his description of the stoning of Paul. I read, "It would be strange indeed if there did not come in the minds of the people of Lystra a marked reaction to the apostles' refusal to accept deification. So a renewal of Jewish persecution came at the psychological moment. It says much for the hostility stirred up in the minds of the Jews at Antioch that some of them were prepared to make the taxing journey of over 100 miles to Lystra to fulfil this religious duty, as they saw it, and to indulge a personal satisfaction of doing despite to these preachers of the gospel. First, there was a public contention against the message concerning Jesus. The Beeson text adds, "And as they were disputing publicly, they persuaded the multitude to withdraw from them, saying that nothing which they say is true, but all false." Next, feeling that the crowd was now solidly on their side, these Jews set about stoning Paul, and in this they were no doubt promptly joined by the worst elements of the mob. The Jews saw this as a rightful punishment for the blasphemy of the gospel centering on Jesus. And after the Zeus-Hermes episode, the local pagans would have a similar attitude. Why ever did we allow ourselves to be taken in? What resemblance between this unattractive fellow and our graceful Hermes? It was Paul they went for it was evident to everybody that he was the dominant personality in this preaching campaign. Barnabas, on his own, would make relatively little impact. So the apostle took a fearful mauling that evening. They were sure they'd killed him. They did not leave stoning him till they had the fullest evidence that he was dead. And so, most probably, he was. Then he was roughly dragged away, to be dumped unceremoniously outside the city gate, and, with sardonic satisfaction, doubtless, before the entrance to the temple of Zeus. He had refused to let them offer a sacrifice to him, as to one of the gods, had he? Then here was a sacrifice of a different sort, laid before the temple gate of gods he had bluntly disparaged. Also, if it came to an inquiry about the corpse, it would now be less easy to trace who was responsible for the violence. After dark, according to one text, some of the new disciples, including perhaps Eunice and the young Timothy, came to where the dirty, blood-stained body of Paul lay. Convinced that he was past all hope, they made no attempt at resuscitation, but simply stood around him in prayer and utter sadness. To their indescribable astonishment, he came too, and stood up in the midst of them. With what gladness did they now take him with them back into the city? There was no alternative. They must take the risk of renewed violence from his enemies. Whether the apostle had actually been killed or not, there is no gainsaying the miracle of his recovery, for next morning he and Barnabas were on the road southeast to Derbe. Persecuted in one city, they now fled to another, as their Lord had bidden them. Certainly, it is something of a marvel that on the morning after such a battering, Paul was able and willing to attempt the long hike now undertaken. One pictures young Timothy carrying his pack for him and then returning home next day. And when Paul moved on, though sore in body, he would surely feel easier in conscience for the stoning he had organised against Stephen and the dragging away which he had inflicted on harmless believers had now been his experience also. It was a poor sort of amends that he had now made, and that not by choice, but no doubt he felt a lot better for it. Thank you for listening.